And now Westwood One presents the Lost Lennon Tapes, brought to you by Budweiser, the king of beers. For all you do, this Bud's for you. Our host is John Lennon's longtime friend and confidant, Elliot Mintz.
Welcome to the first broadcast of the Lost Lennon Tapes, where each week we'll be celebrating the legacy of John Lennon through rare performances and interviews that for years have remained in the private archives of the Lennon Estate. But now, by special arrangement with Yoko Ono and the John Lennon Estate, we're able to share them with you.
I'm trying to circulate the spirit of what John was about and what he really believed in and what he was fighting for and all that. That's always, you know, that I want that to keep going. Not just as his widow or whatever, because we were partners and I really dug his spirit as well. It was just our spirit in a way, you know, so it makes sense to keep it going.
This week we'll take a look at some of the big events that happened in John's life during the last week in January. On January 26, 1970, John Lennon writes, records, and mixes Instant Karma, his first non-Beatles single to nail the top 10 and go gold. John wakes up with the idea in the morning, books a session with producer Phil Spector for 7 that night, and by the early hours of the next morning, sends roadies to a nearby club to round up people to sing the chorus with him in the studio. John and Yoko recall the scene for the BBC's Andy Peebles.
I enjoyed the Instant Karma thing because they're the people right there. And we were talking about the fact that she was knitting, you see, because we did everything together. Now, she wasn't singing on Instant Karma. So I'm doing Instant Karma live, or it was a backing tape with live vocal, I think. And she's just sitting there knitting this scarf. And there was some review the next day. How dare she sit there knitting, you know? But we wanted to be together. And her contribution to that event, instead of having a smoke bomb or a coloured light, a psychedelic light, Yoko Ono knitted.
Yes, the karma's gonna get you.
What we're hearing now is a rehearsal of Instant Karma from late August 1972, as John, Yoko, and the Plastic Ono Elephant's Memory Band get ready for the August 30 one-to-one benefit concert at Madison Square Garden. In a moment, we'll hear how Instant Karma sounds during the actual show.
What on earth are you trying to do? It's up to you. Yeah, you. Instant Karma's gonna get you.
I'm only just beginning to understand what this record was about. 2, 3, 4.
Instant Karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead. What in the world are you thinking of? Laughing in the face of love. What on earth you trying to do? It's up to you, yeah, you. Instant Karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the face.
You better get yourself together, darling.
Join a human race. How in the world are you gonna see? Laughing at fools like superstar. Well, all right, you are. Well, we all shine on like the moon and the stars on the sun. Yeah, we all shine on and on. Come on, yeah. All right. Karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you right off your feet. You
better recognize your brother. Is everyone you meet? Why on earth are we here? Surely not to live in pain and fear. And why on earth are you there? When you're everywhere, come and get your share. When we all shine at the moon and the stars and the sun.
A rehearsal of Instant Karma and the version from August 1972's one-to-one benefit concert, John and Yoko's last show together, from the Live in New York City LP.
Coming up on the Lost Lennon Tapes, Pussycats on the Loose in Hollywood, the Harry Nilsson sessions, and the infamous Troubadour incident during Lennon's Lost Weekend. Stay with us. And now back to the Lost Lennon Tapes with your host, Elliot Mintz.
Oh, darling, save the last dance for me.
This week in 1975, Harry Nilsson's single version of Save the Last Dance for Me is released in Britain. Harry's cover of the Drifters' classic from 1960 is produced by John Lennon at the record plant in Los Angeles between March and May 1974 for Harry's Pussycats LP. This is at the beginning of John's infamous 18-month Lost Weekend, which begins after Yoko tells him to go off for a while and find himself again. For the first few months, John takes the ouster like most guys. He dives into a bottle.
Nobody loves you.
Now, during the Pussycat sessions, John, Harry, Ringo Starr, and Keith Moon all share a house on the beach in nearby Santa Monica. Occasionally, their alcohol-fueled antics make the news, the most notorious incident being the night in March when John, with a sanitary napkin stuck to his forehead, and Harry get thrown out of the Troubadour nightclub for heckling the Smothers Brothers. Appearing on the BBC's Old Grey Whistle test show in February 75, John recalls the incident.
I got drunk and shouted. You know, it was the first night I drank Brandy Alexander's, which is brandy and milk, folks. And I was with Harry Nilsson, who didn't quite get as much coverage as me. A bum. And he really encouraged me. You know, there was, I usually have somebody there that says, okay, Lennon, shut up. And I take it, you know. But I didn't have anybody around me to say, shut up. And I just went on and on. And they just sort of said, oh, okay, you better leave, Miss Lynn. They took me out. So I was drunk. When it's Errol Flynn, you know, all them showbiz writers say, those were the days when we had Sinatra and Errol Flynn socking it to the people, you know, the real men. I do it, and I'm a bum. So it was a mistake, but hell, you know, well, I'm human, you know.
Mucho more sweet thing. Brought you through the sorrow and the tears.
Among the songs Nilsson records for Pussycats is a Lennon tune titled Mucho Mango, which John never recorded for release himself. But in the Dakota vaults, we found a version John recorded at home sometime during late 1975 or early 1976. Listen carefully during the intro for a squawk from an infant named Sean Ono Lennon.
Mucho mango, sweet name, sweetest little thing.
been a sweet dream brought you here, brought you through the sorrow and the tears. Say, I sailing to the moment every day, sailing to the sunshine, to the hay. Mucho more sweet things, sweet little faces, sweet 16. C'est la,
just heard John Lennon singing his unreleased version of Mucho Mango.
Coming up next on the Lost Lennon Tapes, Lennon Remembers. Highlights from the legendary working class hero interview with Rolling Stone founder Jan Wenner, conducted in late 1970 and on the newsstands this week in 1971. Now, back to the Lost Lennon Tapes with your host, Elliot Mintz.
On the newsstands this week in 1971 is the first of a two-part John Lennon interview conducted for Rolling Stone magazine by its founder and editor, Jan Wenner. They come to be known as the Lennon Remembers, or Working Class Hero Interviews, and for the first time, Lennon really opens up about his childhood, the formation of the Beatles, their breakup, drugs, and his relationship with Yoko Ono. We found the tape of Wenner's interview in the Dakota Vaults, and here, for the first time on national radio, are a few highlights.
I like rock and roll, man. I don't like much else. That's the music that inspired me to play music, you know. There's nothing conceptually better than rock and roll. No group, be it Beatles, Dylan or Stones, has ever improved on a whole lot of shaking, for my money. We were four guys that I met Paul and said, do you want to join me band, you know? And then George joined, and then Ringo joined. We were just a band who made it very, very big, that's all.
After Brian died, we collapsed. Paul took over and supposedly led us, you know? But what is leading us when we went round in circles?
She makes music like you've never heard on earth, you know. And when the musicians play with it, they're inspired out of their skulls. Beatles is another myth, you know. I don't believe in it. The dream's over. You know, and I'm not just talking about the Beatles, I'm talking about the generation thing. You know, the dream's over, like, it's over, you know. And we gotta, well, I have, anyway, personally, gotta get down to so-called reality. In my life, I'm a loser, help. Strawberry Fields. They were all personal records. I always wrote about me. I didn't really enjoy writing third-person songs about people who lived in concrete flats and things. I like first-person music. But because of my hang-ups and many other things, I would only now and then specifically write about me, you know. And now I wrote all about me, you know. And that's why I like it. It's me and nobody else.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever and they despise a fool. Till you're so crazy you can't follow their rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. And you think you're so clever and classless and free. But you're still peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. You want to be like the folks on the hill. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Working Class Hero from the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band LP in the title of the legendary Rolling Stone interview on the newsstand 17 years ago this week in 1971. And in 1981, 10 years later, almost to the day, Rolling Stone devotes its entire edition to John Lennon. Rolling Stone's editors publish much of the issue, as well as the Lennon Remembers Working Class Hero interviews, in the 1982 book they titled, quite appropriately, The Ballad of John and Yoko.
Standing in the dock at the Hampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the match said, you've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're going to crucify me. Finally made the plane into Paris.
The Beatles, or more accurately, John Lennon and Paul McCartney with the Ballad of John and Yoko.
Next on the Lost Lennon Tapes, Get Back, the Beatles' legendary rooftop concert, and their last public performance, this week in 1969. Welcome back to the Lost Lennon Tapes. Right now we're going to rejoin host Elliot Mintz and check out some of the other events happening this week in John Lennon's life.
There are places I remember.
In January 1980, John and Yoko buy an oceanfront mansion in Palm Beach, Florida for $700,000. Called El Solano, the estate was built in 1919 and was once owned by the Vanderbilt family. This week in 1969, January 30th to be exact, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr perform live in public for the very last time as the Beatles. With Billy Preston sitting in on keyboards, the Fabs play a brief set on the rooftop of Apple's headquarters in London, mainly for the benefit of the movie cameras documenting what are known at first as the Get Back sessions, and later as Let It Be.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Nobody ever loved me like she do me. She do me, yes she does. And if somebody ever really loved me, oh she loved me, yes she does.
That's Don't Let Me Down by the Beatles. Among the scores of other songs the Beatles recorded during the Get Back Let It Be sessions was One After 909, one of John Lennon's earliest compositions. And despite several previous attempts, the Beatles never released it on record until Let It Be. But one of the tapes we discovered in John's personal collection includes this spring 1960 rehearsal of One After 909 by John and the Quarrymen, his first band.
Thank you.
And here's what One After 909 sounds like almost a decade later on the roof of Apple headquarters this week in January, 1969.
Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said you're traveling on the one after 909. I begged her not to go, and I begged her on my bended knee. You're only fooling around, only fooling around with me. I said, move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said you're traveling on the one after 909. Up my back, run to the station. Railman says you got the wrong location. We cut my back, run right home. Then I find I got the number wrong. Well, said you're traveling on the one after 909. I move over, honey, I'm traveling on that line. Once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said you're driving on the one after 909. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said you're traveling on the one after 90. She said you're traveling on the one after 90. Said you're traveling on the one after 909.
Oh, Danny boy, the old Savannah are calling.
The Beatles performing John Lennon's One After 909 in 1969. Now, when I speak with John on New Year's Day, 1976, he tells me that the Beatles were finished as a band by the Get Back, Let It Be sessions, even though they had yet to record Abbey Road.
We couldn't play the game anymore. We could see through each other, and therefore we felt uncomfortable, because up till then we really believed intensely in what we were doing and the product we put out, and everything had to be just right, and we believed. Suddenly we didn't believe. We couldn't do it anymore. It had come to a point where it was no longer creating magic. And the camera sort of being in the room with us made us aware of that, that it was a phony situation, that we'd come to a stage where we would be completely phony, no reality left. And that was the end of it.
Rosetta. Sweet Rosetta Fat. She thought she was a cleaner, but she was a frying pan.
Yeah, the picture. The picker.
Picture the fingers, right? Okay. Jojo was the man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last. Jojo left his home in Tucson, Arizona, for some California grass. Get back to where you once belonged. She gets it while she can.
Say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
A classic example of the Lennon wit. That's Get Back from the Let It Be album is recorded by the Beatles on the Apple rooftop this week in 1969.
Next on the Lost Lennon Tapes, we'll get primal with John Lennon's first true solo album, which scores gold this week in January 1971. And here's some fascinating alternate takes.
I told you before, stay away from my door. Don't give me that brother, 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 brother. The freaks on the phone won't leave me alone. So don't give me that brother, 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 brother.
Back with the Lost Lennon Tapes. Here's host Elliot Mintz.
One of the most important events occurring this week in John Lennon's life has to do with his first true solo album, the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band LP. It goes gold this week in 1971, just a month after hitting the charts. John produced the LP and the companion Yoko Ono Plastic Ono Band album the previous fall with Yoko and Phil Spector. The players included John's old Hamburg pal, Klaus Voormann, and fellow ex-Beatle Ringo Starr. John refers to it as the mother album after the LP's first single, but it's also widely known as the Primal Scream album. It was recorded in the months following John and Yoko's therapy sessions with Los Angeles-based psychologist Arthur Janoff, whose prescription for self-realization was reverting back to babyhood. It allowed Lennon to confront the pain of his father's desertion when John was not yet two, and the death of his mother when he was 17. As John sings, he found out he could cry.
Primal, as they call it, but it's actually, you know, in layman's term, it's just crying when the situation warrants it. And that's a process which is more natural than not crying when the situation is cryable, as it were. And that'll go on all our lives. And that was the sort of thing that I was given by the therapy or received, you know, that was what I came out with, and that I'm thankful for.
Well, well, well. Oh, well. Well, well, well. Oh.
First solo album, Gold, this week, 17 years ago in 1971, John Lennon gets primal with Well, Well, Well. In our New Year's Day 1976 conversation, John speaks candidly about his wayfaring father, Freddie Lennon.
My father left me when I was a kid. I didn't see him until I made it. And he sort of blackmailed his way into my life through the press. And then I refused to see him, then I finally let him in. I started supporting him, looking after him. Then I went to therapy and sort of re-remembered how furious I was in the depths of my soul about being left as a child, you know. I mean, I understand people leaving their children because they can't cope, you know, or whatever happens for reasons, but you don't understand when you're feeling your own misery. So I came out of the therapy and told him to get the hell out, you know, and he did get the hell out, and I wish I hadn't really, because he was, you know, everybody has their problems, including wayward fathers, you know. I mean, I'm a bit older now, and I understand the pressure of having children or divorces and reasons why people can't cope with their responsibility.
I don't expect you to understand after you've caused. Again, you're not to blame. You're just a human, a victim of the insane.
Among the other songs in the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band LP is My Mummy's Dead, a brief but much more direct expression about his mother than Julia, which appeared 3 years earlier on the Beatles' White Album. But by far, the most controversial song on the album is God, Lennon's disavowal of blind faith in anything and everything, from gurus to politicians, from demagogues to the Beatles. Right now, we're going to hear John singing an early demo version of God, and then what the final take sounds like.
God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Say it again. God is a concept
which we measure our pain. I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in I Ching. I don't believe in Bible. I don't believe in terror. I don't believe in Hitler. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Kennedy. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in mantra. I don't believe in Gita. I don't believe in yoga. I don't believe in kings. I don't believe in Elvis. I don't believe in Dylan. I don't believe in people. I just believe in me.
Look on me. That's reality. What can I say? The dream is over. Yesterday, I was the dreamer. Now I'm reborn.
John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band with God from John's first true solo album, which scores gold this week in 1971. And before that, we heard one of his earliest demos of the work in progress from the summer of 1970. I'm Elliot Mintz, and it's been my pleasure to share the Lost Lennon Tapes with you this week. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as I, and that you'll be with us next week as we continue our celebration of John Lennon's life and music.
The Lost Lennon Tapes, brought to you by Budweiser, the king of beers. For all you do, this Bud's for you. The Lost Lennon Tapes, a weekly presentation of the Westwood One Radio Network in cooperation with the Lennon Estate, hosted by Elliot Mintz. Written and produced by Stephen Peoples. Production and engineering by Dave Kephart, with pre-production by Ray Klein and Jeff Kowalczyk. Research assistance by John Schwartz and Steve Longo. Our executive producer, Norm Pattis. I'm David Perry. Thanks for listening.